Hello, welcome to Film Interrupted. My name is Jack.
My name is Martin.
My name is Nick.
We're going to be taking the time to work through our lists of shame. We put these lists together a few weeks ago using the IMDb Top 250 as a guide to build a collection of films for each other, films that we hadn't seen we thought we should have seen. I'll probably have the most heinous crime for films not seen. I'm going to be starting with that today. I haven't seen Rocky 1. I haven't seen it. I have my reasons, but I haven't seen it. Before I wanted to start talking about this, I don't know if we actually recorded this last week, but you were having a go at me about why it's just your shock about not having seen it, and I just wanted to get that on tape. I mean, do you feel that's like, was it that shocking to you?
Yeah, no, I was genuinely surprised. It's bizarre that you've seen 2, 3, and 4. Have you seen 5 and 6 as well, or is it just 2, 3, and 4?
I've seen 2, 3, and 4 because they're on TV when I was a kid. I haven't got out the way to see. No, hang on, wait. I have seen 5. That's the one where he does the new boxer. I haven't seen 6, but
okay.
But yeah,
It was just it's such a popular film, an accessible film. It's on all the time. It's like I have like multiple like DVD releases and box sets and stuff. It's all over the place. I didn't understand how you'd kind of, you know, missed that one out. And it's just weird that, you know, a man your age hasn't seen Rocky, you know? It feels like it's kind of like, you know, I judge you slightly because of it, you know?
I got that impression.
Yeah. It's like, you need to watch more people punching each other.
Did you want to chime in here, Nick?
Well, I don't find it that surprising if you haven't seen it. When I watched it kind of like as the classic Rocky, you know, the film that I should see rather than the film that I would have encountered just, you know, on a whim at any given point. Like, I had to actually seek out Rocky. I was kind of aware of it. It was in, as much as it's in the collective consciousness. But, yeah, as I say, for me it was a very specific effort to see the film that led to me seeing it. So if Jack wasn't interested, then, you know, fair enough.
That really is a key word. I don't think I was really interested in seeing it. I mean, I understood it was like an Oscar winner and things like that. And I really enjoyed the sequel just as like, just schlock. I mean, just stuff I'd watch for fun. And I found the parts that were dramatic in them a bit crap. So I didn't want to go back to the film that was pure drama without the schlock and see crap drama. And I'd been avoiding it. I'd just been actively avoiding it. I just didn't want to see it. And I went back to see it, and I didn't like it very much. I don't know if I just kind of... I'll be completely honest. I don't know if I'd set it up for failure in my head, or if it's just that I'd seen all the schlocky ones first that were that much more fun, and I didn't like it because I'd seen... just stuff that were, you know, those especially Rocky IV with the Dolph Lundgren and the Russian, that's just part of my childhood, and maybe that see the more, like something which trying to be a more austere version of that didn't sit with me. I don't know, but I really didn't enjoy it. Why do you think it's such a worthy film? Apart from being like part of the popular consciousness, do you honestly feel it's a worthy classic? Seriously?
Yeah, no, I genuinely do. It's just a film with a really like genuine loving relationship at its core. It's two people who are basically kind of, you know, on the kind of fringes of, you know, of their, you know, society, and it's a beautifully rendered like kind of, you know, vision of a kind of grimy Philadelphia. It's a really powerful evocation of a place. It feels like a community, but neither of them are actually like, you know, really like a kind of, you know, a coherent part of it until, you know, he starts getting his, you know, when he gets his chance to fight Apollo Creed, and gets the city kind of, you know, backs him, and it's really nice to see someone who is, you know, on the fringe just being kind of accepted. But no, I could gush about this film forever. I love the way it looks. I love the music. It's astonishingly a good score. I think the casting is perfect in it. I struggle to imagine any other actor really fulfilling the kind of, you know, the roles that are there. I think Apollo Creed, that who is Carl Weathers, I think he's great. He just looks like the toughest guy on the planet. Stallone, clearly indispensable. What's the Burt Young? It's absolutely fantastic.
Is he Polly?
He's Polly.
Yeah.
He's such a dick.
Yeah.
You know? He's one of the guys, he's never redeemed in the entire like series. You know? He just remains just this like shitty little opportunist, but he's still a friend.
Yeah. I think that's significant, and I think that's something I would probably want to talk about a bit later on. But I agree with you completely about Philadelphia. In this film, it's just so awesome, the way that they flesh it out. It feels like almost captured in a really cool way, like it's just cameras set up and filming on the streets and just catching what's going on. I know a lot of the missteps in the film come from when it tries to be a bit too street, like the scenes with little Maria, which are pretty painful.
at least, you know, given that that is like a kind of really awkward scene at the end of it, she's like, Rocky, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
So I mean, they do like draw back a little bit from it.
But when the film opens up and it's in that fucking horrible looking boxing, you know, is that a club? What would that be?
It's an old church or something, or an old like club room in it, but I think it's an old church.
It looks absolutely bogging, and he goes into the back, and it's just, it feels like it's just been, you know, they whipped a camera into this horrible place. And,
yeah.
You know, while there was a gap in between the fights, they set up, you know, this scene, and it has this really cool sense of being very, you're very captured, you know, a bit like a little time capsule.
Mm. I just think visually it's got a great kind of patina. It's like a worn film that's got kind of grime and grease and blood, yeah. And it
doesn't feel like a classic. You know, you don't put this on and think this is, you know, a regal worthy classic. It feels like a film that's become a classic. Did you not get that impression?
No, I just thought it was really heavily overacted, just like the worst kind of Italian American stereotype. Like, you fuck my sister, whoa! Just like, what is this? I mean, the central story, like, yeah, I can totally get behind that. That was really stirring. I liked the scene where he went to one of the very final scenes where he sits down in bed with his girlfriend and just says, I can't win this, but I want to try and go the distance. And that was really the only part of the film that I thought I could relate to. Everything up until then, just like the pseudo Marlon Brando accent style was just overbearing. I couldn't hack it from anyone in the film. It was just way too much. Just leaning into the performances to the point it was just comedic, and I was like giggling at points I really shouldn't have been. He's walking around with his leather hat, bouncing his like racquetball off the street, like talking to himself. Like, this is just stupid.
That's the point. He's a stupid person.
No, but it's not.
He's playing a stupid character.
No, but
he's a stupid, limited, but determined person.
He looks like someone playing a stupid character rather than a stupid character. I could see through the performance. No.
Yeah, Stallone's amazing in this film. He is absolutely amazing.
No, I can't disagree more. He's dumb. The character is dumb. That's the whole point. He's this idiot who's got no right to have any success whatsoever, but he just plugs away, he gets a chance, and he just fucking goes for it. And that's inspiring, and he does it really well.
You're talking like I haven't seen Stallone play Rocky before, and I have. I've seen him in the sequels, but this is my point. I don't know if they shadowed my expectations for this. I mean, I didn't enjoy Stallone's performance between the fight scenes and all the Rocky sequels particularly. That's why I wasn't looking forward to seeing this movie, because it was new. It was going to be far more of a drama, and I just couldn't get behind it. I just thought it was... I just thought it dated so badly. The performances just were a certain type of style, which was considered cutting edge and gritty at the time, and just come across as just showy and like amateur night theatre for someone given a quote-unquote powerful performance, and I just couldn't get behind it. I liked the final scenes. okay, giving it credit where credit's due, any fight scene before a certain date in 1980s is generally terrible. And watching the fight scenes in this, they were crap, but I don't think it's this movie's fault. It's just the way it was done at the time. But yeah, the drama at the end, I enjoyed that. But I was so slow, I was so bored. That whole scene where he like loses his temper for the first time in the meat factory and starts punching the cow, it's like, I want to get a beer. I had to just stand up. I went to get a beer, come back and sit down to watch it. Because there's no way I could watch this thing completely sober. It's just so over the top. I just couldn't buy it.
I don't even know how I can possibly defend the film to you. I mean, I think there comes a point in the film where you either decide to go with it or not. And I'm perfectly happy, like, from the opening of the film to stick with it all the way through. I don't disagree with a lot of your points. I mean, Stallone's performance is heightened, and everyone's performance is heightened, but I think they create a world, and I think the world is very... it feels very real, and as much as it's a world that all these characters live in, and even though it doesn't exactly resemble reality, it resembles enough of a reality that you can invest yourself in it. I think the way Stallone has written his character is just so wonderful and so charming. This kind of... I mean, he is an idiot, but he's also... he's trying so hard, you know? Mm. And he's so sweet because he's this big, bulky bruiser who really has no reason to do anything but go about his business, you know, breaking fingers and, you know, whatever he chooses to do with his time, punch people in the head.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have any friends, you know?
But he's trying so hard to get friends. I mean, he's being,
sad.
Yeah, he's so sad. And he goes about and he talks to, like, his goldfish and he says, you know, oh, if you guys could do tricks, I wouldn't have to do it. Whatever, you know? And he's, and he's, even though he thinks he's being charming and we know he isn't, he's just being weird, he just comes across as so harmless and so, you know, sweet that you just want good things to happen to him. And he tries so hard, man. So, like, even, like, when I think Adrian closes the door on him at one point, and he's, like, you know, he's just vamping with it. He's like, you know, hey, I never had to talk to a door before. You know, what do you say? And he's like, I give up. Or, like, he'll talk about the birds in the pet shop and say they look like sweets and stuff. But he's so lovable. I think Stallone is the bomb in this film.
I think the characters there, I just can't get behind the performance. I couldn't look through the performance to even see if the script was any good. It was just so distracting. It was just way too much for me. I just couldn't look through it. I didn't know if it was going to be like one of those points where it's an impasse, where we talked before that you're going to put poor Martin through a Charlie Chaplin movie, and a man who, you know, he just doesn't like his shtick. And I think I just don't like Stallone's shtick too much. I mean, I've never been a big fan of his movies, of anything more than just junk. So, but that's not even the same thing, because, like, no one's really claiming that Stallone's any more than junk anymore, that he just had this... he had this, and he had Rambo, and that's it. As an actor.
A cliffhanger.
I enjoyed Cliffhanger. He's not an actor in Cliffhanger.
Cobra?
I didn't like Cobra too much. Martin's got a shtick about Black Cobra. He liked that better. but
Nighthawks? You're dissing Nighthawks?
I don't like Nighthawks.
Yeah, Nighthawks was disappointing. I thought that was going to be fantastic. I was like, yes, Stallone and Hauer. But yeah, it's a bit flat. But no, I'm disappointed for you. I genuinely feel a bit sorry for you that, you know, there's something that's just so, you know, emotionally rewarding, and you're just like, yeah, don't like it. Yeah, he's not a good actor. Yeah, don't know. Yeah, I feel bad for you. You have my sympathy, and I'm sorry, because there's just, I don't know in any film that I've watched, out of all of them, the character, it's not even a character, this, you know, a minuscule character that I want to be in just to be part of it. I want to be the guy that throws Rocky an apple when he's running through the streets. I would give my right arm just to, like, you know, have a moment in my life that I felt so perfectly part of, like, an entire community who's all, like, rallied around this one thing, and you just throw a guy an apple and he's just, like, running off to go and become, like, you know, a heavyweight contender. It's beautiful. And for you not to get anything like that from Rocky is, you have my sympathies.
See, this is where I'm maybe split from you a little bit, and you might have to give me your sympathy as well. I don't want you bestowing it completely on Jack.
I'm quite generous.
I don't think the film's that uplifting. Like, that was my impression when I watched it this time, is that I was just completely saturated by the grimness of it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, there's a lot of harsh as well.
Yeah, it's so harsh that I don't think it really... Even when I could see the scenes that I know are famous for being stirring, like his, you know, running through the streets, it didn't seem anything but, you know, desperate and grim and, you know, inevitably bad for when he ultimately has to face up to this unbelievable challenge that he set himself. I think the cumulative effect of all the grimness of the film doesn't really get washed away by the emotional uplift. I don't think it has to either. Like, I think the film's great, but I think it's so cynical as it progresses that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to think of it as an uplifting sports movie rather than just a seedy urban drama. You know, I mentioned earlier about Polly. Polly's an arsehole at the beginning of the film, and he's an arsehole at the end of the film.
And he's an arsehole in, like, you know, Rocky Balboa. I mean,
he gets some redemption. He's
an arsehole for decades.
He gets some redemption.
But he always claws it back to remind you that he's still just a fucking self-interested arse.
Yeah. Mickey's an arsehole as well. You know, he isn't a good guy. He kicks Stallone when he's down and comes back when it seems like there's some kind of attempt at him to recapture some sort of former glory, and he's pathetic and he's grovelling, and he ends up knowing that he's banged to rights walking away, and it's the, you know, Rocky's good heart that leads him out to meet with Mickey and go, I know you're a bastard, but, you know, I can bring you with me and we can maybe, you know, find some kind of peace with each other. But I don't think that character undergoes a massive change. And I think that's indicative of this feeling of realism throughout the whole film. It doesn't see the need to redeem characters where you would expect it to. Even down to... Oh, what's the guy's name? He was in Maniac. Is it Joe Spinell or Spinelli? He plays the pimp in the film, I think.
Oh, the loan shark?
The mafia guy.
Yeah, he's not a pimp. He dresses like a pimp.
Yeah.
A loan shark. He is good to Rocky, and you expect that to come back and, you know...
Yeah, but instead he's just generous.
Yeah. And it's this feeling that sometimes people are good, sometimes people are bad, and there's no way to really get a handle on it. And, you know, there's nothing you can do but just try and claw something back out of this world that is suffocating and stifling, and people won't change, you know? And it's so oppressive, so much so that when you cut to, like, Apollo Creed and what he's doing, you're suddenly aware that you've been so locked into this world that when these people start talking sensibly about things, it feels like you're on another planet, you know? They're talking with logic and they're removed from all this, you know, the stink of the streets and you know, you're going to have to go back and be trapped there for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. But while you're with Apollo, you know, you're like, wow, there are sensible people in this world. You know, how the hell is Rocky going to match up to
this?
Yeah,
it's you know, him against the kind of marketing machine.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
You know, it's absolutely crazy. Go on.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
No, I've been talking too long.
You were talking about realism, and I'm just watching it think, wow, this film really wants to be realistic. It's trying really hard to be realistic. And it just came across as, like, hyperbole and, like, really broad strokes, and I didn't really buy it. It's not the kind of quiet realism that you might expect from...
It's not like a Mike Lee film. I mean, It's a sports drama, you know? I mean, you have to adjust expectations for the genre sometimes.
Well, I just don't think the genre of realism and sports drama and this type of sports drama really marry up. I thought it was a real contradiction and it just stopped me from enjoying it. I kind of wanted it to be...
Contradiction?
Yeah.
Harsh underdog makes good.
Well, how is that realism? I wanted it to be more melodramatic and more over the top, or pare it back.
That's why you have Rocky 3. If you want more melodrama, you go to 3 and 4.
This is what I'm talking about. It's like I enjoyed those movies for their high melodrama, and I'm pretty sure, I mean, this list is put together based on films that I hadn't seen. And I hadn't seen Rocky all the way through, But watching it is like, I'd seen the start of it definitely, and I'd realised I just got bored and switched it off at one point as a kid because it was just boring the crap out of me. But I think I just ruined this film for myself by watching all the sequels fairly heavily at a young age. But I probably would have rather done that than watch this film at my age I am now and then try to enjoy the sequels. This is my very lame defense, but I think I ruined Rocky for myself. Even just like the fact that it's a template that's been copied so many times. I mean, that's really evident. I'm going to give him credit for that for sure. He created the template for a certain type of sports melodrama that's been copied so many times. You've all seen Warrior, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I really, really enjoyed that movie. I mean, I've no idea how that's going to date, but I really enjoyed that movie. Clearly, like a play on
what. So what? That is that, you know, is that an acceptable, you know, level of realism that he's, you know, tearing doors off tanks and stuff?
That's not. It's not real at all. It's pure melodrama. It's like I enjoyed that for the clearly, I enjoy melodrama. I've said so. I've been on the record a lot of times as saying that, but I think I like a larger dose of melodrama with my Americana, and this thing is, despite its gritty realism, the part where he stops in the street and the guys are singing and like soul music and they swap wine back and forth, like,
he's given his brother a chance to sing in the film, you know?
Oh, God.
That's his brother singing, that's Frank Stallone.
Yeah, you know? I think that's adorable.
I mean, come on, I mean, he's just helping him out. I mean, that's... There, you want some real realism for it? It's like, oh fuck, my brother's gonna ruin my film. he's gonna ruin my film. Okay,
he's like the Polly of Rocky's horror.
On you go, Frank. Do your doo wop. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. That bit stinks, but you know, that's why the film is what it is, because it's, you know,
yeah.
It's,
I mean, that's
Stallone's baby. You know,
he knows he stinks. His whole life stinks. What are you gonna do?
Well, basically, overall, I give this like a 5 out of 10. And like, I was really bored. I mean, if I wasn't watching it to talk to you guys, I would have just turned it off. I enjoyed the final. I enjoyed the third act because I felt like it came through a lot better than the rest of the film. I just didn't like Stallone's performance as much.
Yeah.
No, I just couldn't get behind it. Okay, I realised earlier I was trying to talk about personal shticks and me not liking Stallone. I realised I compared Stallone to Charlie Chaplin. And I suppose that really wasn't very fair. What I was getting at is I just don't like Stallone's dramatic shtick. I don't think I've ever liked his dramatic shtick, with the exception of Rambo. And I don't know why that's the exception that makes a rule, but it is.
I think I know why. I think I can see a link. I think you like high drama as long as the dialogue is incomprehensible. Like, the end of Rambo, you can't make out a single word that he's saying. And Nick Nolte in Warrior delivers most of the melodrama in that film, and you can't understand a word he says either.
Yeah, because he's got a face like a wrinkled nutsack.
Anybody
want
Tai
Chi's? I'm kind of lost with the Chaplin, you know, comparison.
Yeah.
Well, it's just that I ended up using that, and I'm just trying to imagine, like, I had this sudden image of Sylvester Stallone in a top hat and a cane. Like, this is just ridiculous. I don't know why I brought that comparison up. But, I mean, a particular stick, I understand.
They are people that share the, you know, the honour of being nominated for Oscars. For, as I mentioned before, Best Original Screenplay and Best Actor for the same film.
Yes, that's true.
Clearly they're, you know, on the level footing.
The point of what I was trying to get is, like, Chaplin's shtick is really clear. I understand why someone didn't like that, and I'm not sure if Stallone's shtick is as stereotypical, but either way, I just can't get behind it when he's trying to be dramatic. I was trying to work my way through the IMDb Top 50, just as like an aside here, for shticks I don't like, and I pushed myself to watch Manhattan by Woody Allen, and what an irredeemable little cunt of a character. Just, what the fuck? How is that charming? Oh my God. I didn't think I'd watched it, because I remember seeing scenes from it and then nothing happening. It's like, no, surely something must have happened in that movie. Rewatched it. No, I saw that entire movie, and it's just spoiled, rich twats being spoiled rich twats, and I just could. This guy's clearly talented, clearly a great writer, clearly a great director. Despised his character, could not get behind it or sympathise with it in any way, shape, or form. Just loathed it so much. So in comparison to that, Rocky's a total winner. Rocky's like something I can get behind at the very least.
I think you're showboating for publicity here, Jack.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get all the Woody Allen like freebies. That's what I'm trying to get us here.
You're talking about two characters or three characters at this point who all have very definable, you know, characteristics. I don't think Stallone is so necessarily pigeonholed as someone who plays the same character all the time. I think Rocky's very much a sort of exception. He isn't even an exception in the majority of the films, but in Rocky 1 and Rocky Balboa, which seem to be the original and the sequel, you know, he's playing a very specific type of person who he isn't, especially between Rocky 2 and Rocky 5. Mm-hmm. I think the Rocky from, the Stallone from Rocky is very distinguishable from, I mean, we mentioned before his character in Nighthawks, who dresses like an old woman in certain scenes, and and whoever he plays in Cliffhanger, whoever he plays, is it surely Cobra's his surname? Probably.
I don't think that is his surname.
No,
I think he's like an Italian name. It's like, no, it's like Cobretti or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember, you know, the first name, but I think it's something like Cobretti.
His name in Over the Top is Lincoln Hawk, if I remember correctly, which is pretty amazing. But Rocky seems very, very clearly defined. He is the most character-y that Stallone has ever played, I think. And I think the character is excellent. I mean, we described before just how much. I mean, it's probably screenwriting 101. You know, to have a character and then, you know, make his characteristics almost the opposite of the way he would expect him to be. You know, here's this bruiser, and yet he is so passive that it's unbelievable. Like, he really doesn't want to hurt anybody, and he gets pushed around everywhere he goes, and he doesn't really get into any fights until they're, you know, coordinated for him, and he does it just as an attempt to pursue some kind of goal. He doesn't make it, like, some sort of bloodlust or anything like that. But I think the character is really well designed. He's right there to be seen. He works on a visceral level, and he's an absolute delight to watch. And like I say, I feel it's a shame that maybe Jack didn't feel the same.
It encourages me when, you know, there's someone with, you know, such manifest flaws, but, you know, they're there, and they just, like, the whole attempt is just the whole film is just an attempt to, like, you know, prove that this character has value. And it's, you know, he doesn't, you know, win and become the heavyweight champion. He sets his own goal, which is barely achievable, and kind of just makes it by the skin of his teeth. But it's a great piece of, like, kind of self-affirmation, and it's still, you know, incredibly unlikely, but, you know, that's what, I don't really, you know, chase, you know, a realistic, you know, story as being a value in films. Just got distracted by a car going past.
Yeah.
It's just a film full of, it's an admirable, you know, character. He's painfully limited, but he achieves something that's, like, you know, that does truly inspire a city. In the film, and it has sort of carried over into, you know, inspiring, you know, the real Philadelphia. I mean, I was in Philadelphia airport. I didn't get a chance to actually leave and go and see the city, but Rocky's all over that shit. It's like they are clearly, like, you know, more than happy to be, like, the Rocky city, you know. I don't think, you know, Detroit's so keen to be, like, the RoboCop city or anything. But it's going that way because, you know, I mean, if they're going bankrupt, then it's going to be a new Detroit. OCP's going to buy it. Everything's going to start, you know, rolling in. But for you just not to really care about Rocky, I've said it before. I just think it's just feel bad for you because I get so much joy out of it, and it is a film that just elicits genuine emotional responses.
Jack,
from
did you like or dislike his relationship with Adrian?
Um, I I liked what it was trying to be. I didn't particularly buy his performance. Again, I just couldn't get past him as an actor. I realize how curmudgeonly I'm coming across here. I didn't intend to, but I just don't buy it. I just don't buy the tone of what it's trying to do with the melodrama and the grit and the realism don't mix for me. His performance style.
Is there any actor that comes out of this film with any credit for you whatsoever?
Really, no.
Burgess Meredith? No.
Who's that?
Mickey?
No.
Do you like him as the Penguin?
What? He's the Penguin?
Yeah, and Adam West, Batman.
Well, dude, I'm not going to try and credit a performance from anything in Adam West. That's something I saw when I was like 10. I don't know. I wouldn't credit anyone from that show ever. I'm at an impasse here. I'm really not much for a conversation on this subject without just whining, but I just did not get behind it. I credit it with a really strong third act with some genuine emotion that finally came to the surface and it seemed genuine. And I credit it with being a template for anything that involves a training montage owes itself to Rocky. Anything with a training montage. But I can't say I'm looking forward to rewatching it ever again.
The reason I asked was just because I think his relationship with Adrian is so lovely in the film. You know, it's these two misfits who are just perfect for each other, you know, that really can give each other what they need in that particular moment. And it's not as if he's some kind of arsehole boxer who's chasing, you know, a dolly bird on each arm. He's going after, you know, his friend's mousy sister. And, you know, you think about the scenes that they're in, and Bill Conti's score is so lovely when they're, you know, when Stallone finally gets a chance to take her out and they go into the derelict, or it's not really derelict, it's just closed.
It's closed for July 4th, yeah. For Thanksgiving, yeah. No, that was a cute scene. The whole time was
But there's actually a dark side, see, because I think the film does a good job of setting this really grim tone that you find it hard to really breathe in. When he takes her back to his apartment and he like takes off his top and he's got his wife beater on and he puts the music on, you think he might rape her. He might rape her. you really can't tell which way it's going to go because you haven't. I think you know it basically that Stallone's a good guy, but you know you think she wants to go, he doesn't want her to go, but he doesn't really have any way of expressing himself beyond you know what he's done so far. Yeah,
yeah.
Like he's very much a kind of an ill-fitting cog where you just can't really judge his next step. And I think it always keeps you on edge, and I think that scene is very good, and for that reason.
Yeah, no, it's a very awkward scene in the best way because it's like, you know, it's people being romantic but not quite knowing how to be romantic. They don't know how to kiss. They all kind of like, awkwardly kind of like slouch down to the floor, like kind of sliding down. It's just. It's all weird and, like, you know, wonky positioning and stuff.
And that character wouldn't be in a Rocky remake that was now... I mean, you'd have an Adrian, but she wouldn't be, you know, a mousy sister. She would be, like, a high school sweetheart who was, you know, clearly absolutely gorgeous, but, you know, is a housewife now. You know, I don't think they would take the risk of making her quite as clearly ill-fitting as Talia Shire is.
Well, they might not do, you know... kind of same kind of, you know, sort of costuming and, you know, absence of makeup. But, I mean, Talia Shire is beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
she's lovely.
The Godfather and so on. I mean, she shines in it when they actually, like, you know, get her out of the kind of, you know, umpteen layers of frump that they pile on. But
she's one of the sisters, isn't she, in The Godfather? She's the one that Sonny... She's been up by her husband and Sonny goes and batters him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of shrieking and, you know...
Yeah.
Well, it shows how restrained her performance is in this film and how well she's able to convey that sort of, you know, untouched sort of quality. It's not even a purity, it's like a kind of... It's just it's hard to describe, it's just a clenched fist quality. where it feels like Rocky could be good at bringing her out of her shell. You know, it doesn't feel as if she's some kind of saint. It just feels as if she doesn't know how to act in the same way that he doesn't know how to act.
But no, I thought the scene with them having like their first kiss, it's one of the most awkward, like, you know, people about to have sex scenes ever. It's just, I don't want to watch these people have sex. It's going to be a, like, lumpy and awkward, and they won't know what to do. It's totally un-Hollywood.
And Stallone would probably destroy her.
That's a horrible thought to end that with now.
Well then, let's see. I mean, how big an arsehole is Polly in this film? Like, really? He's like the biggest dick. And I think we've all got friends like that, where you think, you know, why?
Do we all have friends that are like, you know, alcoholics with, like, you know, seedy, like, you know, quasi-incestuous relationships to their sister and, like, blame her for all her failings and then traumatize her for
the rest of her life. You know, change the records.
Everyone does it.
Do you rate this as, like, you obviously clearly think it belongs in the IMDb 250. Is this, like, one of your favourite films, or is it just something you got a lot of respect for?
I wouldn't, like, you know, be, you know, putting it up in, you know, a sort of, you know, last 10 movies that I'm going to watch when, you know, my time's about to run out kind of thing. But yeah, I think it's great. I think, you know, it was a monumental achievement. I get genuine, like, you know, joy from watching this. And, you know, it's all, like, nasty and conflicted as well, because it's just, it's grim and seedy and, you know, just, yeah, it's like grubby. I think there's so much to get from it. I mean, it's a great sports film. It's a great, you know, film about a place. It's wonderful. I mean, I think one of my favourite bits is just, you take it as being, like, kind of, you know, cliche and so on, like the bit with him, like, you know, beating up the sides of beef in the meatpacking plant. But I love that when, like, Apollo Creed is, like, not watching it on TV, but his coach is watching it on TV. And he's just, like, they've, like, coasted along on this, like, okay, we'll get the guy with the best name that doesn't have a chance, and we'll put on a show and we'll beat the guy up. And his coach sits there and he gets this kind of, like, this look of, like, this guy's a bit funny. He's just, like, beating the living shit out of a cow that's dead.
Yeah.
We need to watch this, guy. it's just a lovely little, like, moment of, like, realization. And the film's full of them, just like little vignettes. There's so much in it, and, you know, you got something out of it, but it's a shame that, you know, we're not on an even footing as far as our appreciation, you know.
Do you think if I'd seen this first, if I'd made myself watch it as a young kid, or do you understand that I might have ruined it myself by the schlockier sequels?
I mean, the other Rocky films are cartoons, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
This, you know, Rocky, we've discussed. Rocky 2 is like, okay, this made a lot of money, let's have him, you know, win the title, okay? It takes that leap from being, you know, him setting, you know, his kind of, you know, impossible almost goal, which is just, like, just to go the distance, and then they take it, you know, another step, which is the kind of, you know, the almost simultaneous knockout that ends Rocky 2, but he gets up, like, a second earlier, and then he's the champ. So, you know, it's taking this leap into the unknown. Rocky 3 just throws everything to hell, and he's fighting Hulk Hogan in, like, a charity match, and Hulk Hogan's called Thunderlip. I was like, okay, they're not going for gritty realism anymore.
It's like they were trying to make the Saturday morning cartoon version of Rocky.
Yeah.
And then went, why don't we just use the script? But
and they couldn't think of anything else to do, so they...
We've got Hulkamaniacs. We've got Rocky.
They decided that Rocky 3 would be about, you know, well... What are black people? Are black people nice and helpful? Or are they scary and terrifying? We need to decide. Because you've got Mr. T playing Clubber Lang, who is like, I am this threat, I will come and kill you and take everything you have. And Apollo Creed is like, I'm totally over that fight we had. I don't like this guy. I'm going to help you out. We'll go for a, like, you know, a run in the surf, and we'll frolic in our little, like, you know, belly shirts and jump up and down and hug each other once you can overtake me, because clearly that means you're ready to be the next, you know, heavyweight champ again, because I'm the retired former heavyweight champ who's been superseded. But if you can beat him in a foot race, then you'll be okay because he's black. it's really, like, awkward, tortured logic.
The racial politics in Rocky was really weird too. Well, it wasn't even weird, it was just like borderline racist for me. It's just like,
In what sense, in like the first film?
Well, it's just that you've got a black man and who is the heavyweight champion of the world, and he's going to stand up, and his idea is like, okay, let's challenge an Italian-American, someone who discovered America on, I forget what it was Liberty Day or I don't know. Oh, God, I'm not going to pass my citizenship test at this rate.
That's where it starts off.
Yeah, on a truly little day. And at the very end scene, when he comes out dressed as Uncle Sam, the basic impression amongst the Italian-Americans in Stallone's corner is like, who does this guy think he is dressed like Uncle Sam? And I don't know if it was like an undercurrent or if it just aged badly again, but it's like, this is kind of weird. This is like a bit odd racial politics. And I did see like...
But it's honest. I mean, there's been a kind of a desire right through American sport ever since, like, you know, say the days like Rocky Marciano, you know, was the champion. It's, you know, notable he's called Rocky. That, you know, the heavyweight boxing champs were black, you know, and they have to address this, you know, idea that, you know, for marketing purposes, they're going to use the kind of great white hype and just, you know, have the, you know, the next, you know, white hope to step up and be, you know, the champion, because, you know, it's a sport of violence, and, you know, people who are, like, you know, so deeply enamored of violence, you know, within, you know, that realm, there tends to be some dodgy racial politics where it's, you know, well, at least one of us is the champ, and the nominal us being a white American, not this black American who's, you know, taken over the role. I think it'd be remiss of a film that's dealing with boxing in that time to not pretend that there wasn't hostility towards a black heavyweight champ.
It's just never something I'd seen on film before, but it was like very awkward for me to watch, and I kept on thinking
that's a good thing.
No, I know, but I'm standing by the third act as being a strong thing, but I just didn't know what to make of it, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing in itself. I kept on thinking back to an Eddie Murphy stand-up sketch where he's talking about a cheeky Italian guy who just watched Rocky and all of a sudden is like being racist. I'm not really using Eddie Murphy as a barometer of anything like, you know, savvy racial politics. But
yeah, he'll keep you right. He'll keep you.
Yeah, that's what I say. Yeah.
So just don't get in a car with him.
Yeah, don't get in a car with him, or, you know, offer to keep anything warm. But I, that part of it was, that third act was really strong. I was just bored to tears for the first hour and a half. I've said my piece. I keep on repeating myself now. I'm just going to stop here. Like, you clearly love it. I didn't. More power to you.
It is difficult if you're not on board with it, because it's like, it's maybe just under an hour before the fight is even proposed to Rocky. You know, before then, he's not involved in the story. He's just, you know, going about his day. In fact, the first act of the film is almost like a day in the life. You know, you spend time through Rocky's day. You know, he wanders about, he speaks with Adrian, he goes to, you know, break knuckles, whatever. He wanders about, goes into the pub. Yeah, and it just goes from day to night in this, you know, this little place, and it's wonderful. But if you're not on board with, you know, if you're not on board with the character or what they're trying to achieve, then I can see how it could be kind of a frustrating film to get behind. But I think certainly that relentless grim atmosphere is something of, you know, at least for me, a narrative novelty, because you think, you know, at any point anything could happen. You know, this film really wouldn't be afraid to let, you know, any outrageously awful thing happen to any of his characters at any given point. Adrian might get raped, you know, in this film. That's a very distinct possibility. And it's a film that's really harsh on his characters as well, even up to the point at the end, just before Rocky's fight, when he's looking up at the big banner of himself, and he's like, you know, my shorts are the wrong colour, you know, the colour should be the other way around, and the guy's like, that doesn't matter. Yeah, this might be the most important moment of your entire life, but to me and everyone else, you know, it's nothing. It's a blip. You'll go back to being a joke tomorrow, you know, then this will be thrown in the bin. It's a harsh film, and I think it's a film that is constantly surprising in that respect. At least it surprised me this time around.
So thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning into Film Interrupted, where you've heard my very weak defense of my dislike for Rocky and casting myself as a bad person and not a man's man. Thank you for listening, and until next time,
it's been a pleasure. Bye.
Take care. Pleasure. Bye bye.